John 13:1 says, and having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Thank God for the love of God.
Amen.
That was shed abroad in the person of Jesus Christ and now in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You have your Bible open to Hebrews chapter number 4, and we're going to continue to navigate through this book as we have reached now the latter part of chapter number 4. I want to remind you, as you look back just for a moment in chapter 1, we told you that the book is about God has spoken. And God has spoken. And I'm glad that God, when He spoke, I'm glad that He preserved some things that He spoke so that we could have them in His Word and we could have what God has spoken to help get us through this life. First of all, help get us to Himself, and then to not only find pardon, but purpose. God brings purpose to life. So God has spoken. And not only has God spoken, but as He has spoken, He has shown us through this book here of Hebrews that Jesus is superior. He's a better way. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the priesthood. He's better than the sacrifices. You see, if we were to meet together for worship some 2,000 years ago in Israel, it'd be a lot different than it is here today, right? If we were to meet in Israel as they were, well, you go all the way back, maybe when they were traveling through the wilderness, you find where there was a tabernacle set up. And of course, in the days of Jesus and 2,000 years ago, they had a more permanent structure, a temple. But it was different than what we are doing here today. Same God, some of the same principles, but it was going about in an Old Testament way where they were offering sacrifices. You see, you couldn't go to God on your own. You could bring the firstling of your flock, but you would have to stop at the gate. We talked about the tabernacle some time ago and how that you needed a priest. And so when you got your firstling of the flock there, you would hand it over to the priest, and the priest would begin to carry out the observation of the priesthood. He would take that animal, that firstling of the flock, and that spotless lamb, and he would place it upon the brazen altar, and he would offer that as a sacrifice. And then he would go and he would go to the next section, which is the laver, the brazen laver. And the priest had duties that he would perform within the first veil, which included the table of showbread and the golden candlestick and the altar of incense. But one day a year, you would need a high priest on the high day of atonement to go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, where the blood was put upon the mercy seat, upon the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of the people for a year. And that priest would go in and he would do his duty and then get out as soon as possible. But here, as we shall see in just a moment, we're going to be introduced to another high priest, a different high priest. You see, you are a priest. If you're saved, we're priests of God. We don't need a priest. We are a priest. Amen?
Amen?
Now, don't be like that one bumper sticker I saw that said, I don't need a teacher. I are one. Well, no, wait a minute. Amen. You don't need a priest. You are one. You're a priest. And we're going to read about that today. We're going to look in God's Word. Now, one of the things that we saw in the book of Hebrews, look in chapter 2, because God has spoken, because God has taught us some things, He said in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so He said, now, don't drift. Don't drift from the truth. You give the more earnest heed. And that's what we've been charged to do. Pay close attention to what God has said. Take in what God has taught. What God has said in His Word, He expects to be fulfilled by you and I as His people. And then when you go over to a second section in chapter number 3, leading up to chapter number 4, He said in chapter number 3, in verse number 7, He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation, in the wilderness. He said, now learn from that lesson. These things were written in the Old Testament for our admonition, so that we could learn from some things that they did not do that they should have done, or some things that they did that they should not have done. And he said down in chapter 3 and verse number 12, take heed, brethren. He's talking to you and I as believers. He said, take heed now. There's just some things we ought to take heed to. He said, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he said, give the more earnest heed when it comes to what God has said. He said, don't doubt what God has said. And then he said, don't be one of disbelief. Because if you are, he said, you're not going to act upon God's promise, and it's going to come back and it's going to cost you. Now we get over into chapter number 4, and we get down into verse number 14. And he said, I've got something I want to share with you that's going to help you as you go through life as a believer. I'm glad that God didn't save us and leave us on our own, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Thank God for a place like this we can come and we can corporately worship one with another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, can I tell you that it's the will of God that you be saved? For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that all men come to the knowledge of truth and be saved in the grace of God. And I pray that if you're not saved, that you will be. If you're here and you are saved, God has something He wants to share with you today. God wants you to know that the ministry of Jesus Christ has not ended for you. There are so many people that when they begin to think about the ministry of Christ, they think about the cross. And listen, I'm not minimizing that. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the empty tomb. Amen? Thank God for the cross. But there, listen, Jesus is not on the cross any longer. We do not crucify the Son of God afresh. Thank God for the tomb, but Jesus is not in the tomb any longer. Thank God He come up out of that tomb. Thank God that He has ascended into the heavens. And now the ministry of Jesus continues. But the ministry of Jesus now has moved for you and I that have been saved from salvation to intercession. And so often as believers, we stop at salvation. And we may even make it to some sanctification. And we realize that God has set us apart. But can I tell you that God wants us to understand that after we're saved and after God begins that work of sanctification in our life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as He has set us apart for service, that He wants us to know that He has not left us here on our own. That there is a high priest that we have in heaven. You see, Aaron was a high priest in Israel, but he was an earthly high priest. I want you to notice some things about our heavenly high priest. The first thing I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter number 4, look if you would in verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Can I tell you, Aaron was never called that. There was no high priest in Israel that was ever called a great high priest. Jesus is the great high priest. Amen. We're going to see why in just a moment. There's many reasons. See, the book of Hebrews is about Jesus being better. He's just better. Amen. He's better than some religious system. We don't meet to worship in just a place. We're worshiping in a person, brethren. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our worship. He's the center of our worship. The person of Jesus Christ. I want you to underline in your Bible in verse number 14 where it says, we have. And then look at verse number 15, for we have. There's just some things I'm glad that we have. I'm glad that we have this person of Jesus who is not complete in His ministry to you and I as believers. Can I tell you, He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. You say, preacher, what's that mean for me? Well, we're going to see right here in these verses of Scripture. Jesus is our great high priest. Now listen, they were earthly high priests, and they had duties and responsibilities that they carried out for the people. But Jesus is our heavenly high priest. And here, the author of the book of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, said this. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. And he said this about him, that is passed into the heavens. So we're not talking about some earthly ministry. The earthly ministry of Jesus has moved to heaven. Now, it's going to come back to earth one day. You see, Jesus has three offices. When He was here, He was a prophet. He was a prophet. But His ministry as prophet has ceased. And He's going to come back to this earth one day, and He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth, and He's going to take up a second office, and that is His King. Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. He's coming back as King Jesus. He's going to be crowned as Lord of glory, as Lord of all. Now, while that takes place on earth, prophet, king, Calvary, throne. There's a ministry going on in heaven. And that's the third office of Jesus that we'll talk about, and that is the ministry of the priesthood. A high priest. Jesus is your high priest. You see, when Jesus came to die on the cross, he came to represent God to man. But now he has gone to heaven and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, representing man to God. Did you get that? The ministry of Jesus has gone from representing God to man to we who are saved. He's still representing God to man to those who are lost. But to we who are saved, now he is representing man to God through intercession. So think about this word in verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Think about this, our priest position. Our priest position, our great high priest. What is the position of our great high priest? Look what the Bible says, that is passed into the heavens. Jesus is in heaven, and he is seated, and he's carrying out the high priestly duty. What is it, preacher? What is the high priestly duty of Jesus? Well, notice here what he said. We'll come back to that. He said, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus was his earthly name, Savior, Jesus. This is his name for humanity. He is identifying with humanity. Jesus is identifying with man. Jesus, the Son of God. This is his divine title. So Jesus, the human title, Jesus became a man. Think about that. God became a man. I think sometimes we say that so often that it kind of just gets by us. Wonder of wonders, mystery of mysteries. God became a man. Amen. God became a man. God was made flesh. God was made flesh. In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Doesn't Colossians say that? Colossians 2:9. Isn't that something? Jesus is God. Can I tell you that the only way that a man can confess that is if the Spirit of God makes it real in his heart. It's the only way. There are religions all around our world that will acknowledge Jesus but not as God. But when a man gets born again, when the Spirit of God comes in man, when the Spirit of God reveals to man and manifests to man that the Word was made flesh, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He said here that this high priest, his position is in the heavens. What's Jesus doing in heaven? What's Jesus doing in heaven? So I think he's just kind of relaxing, sitting back, taking it easy, preacher. Oh, you don't understand what the Bible teaches then. Look, if you would, just turn over a couple of pages to Hebrews. I keep saying Romans. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look there if you would. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. As far as we can recollect in the Scriptures, the entire time that the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, he never went into the Holy of Holies. Never did. However, when he got to heaven, he went into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And he applied his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You say, preacher, did Jesus do that? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Hebrews 9, verse number 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. No, you see, those were figures of the truth. Those were figures of the truth. And Christ never entered into there. And he hasn't even today. But I'll tell you where he has entered. Look at verse 24 as it goes on. He said, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus is interceding for you. It's good to know that our great high priest is praying for us. Amen. Sometimes the devil will tell you, you know, no one cares about you. No one cares what you're going through. People don't love you. You're all alone. I want to tell you, you're never alone. If you're saved, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, pleading your case, pleading my case, pleading our case. He is, again, look at verse 24. He is now in the presence of God for us, brethren. For us. What a wonderful comfort to know. What a wonderful thing to know. Look over in chapter number 10 just for a moment. Chapter 10, look if you would in verse number 12. Chapter 10, verse number 12. We'll back up to verse number 10 of chapter 10 where it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. It's finished, brethren. It's finished. I'm glad that the price has been paid. The blood has been shed. And now all that will come to God through Christ can be washed in the blood and saved and forgiven of their sin. And Jesus is making intercession. The work is finished, so we sit down. There was no chairs in that old tabernacle. But thank God, the one in heaven, there is a throne. And Jesus is seated there as the work is finished. Let's go back now. He said this in verse number 14 of chapter 4. He said, our great high priest is passed into the heavens. That's right. When you look at past in chapter 4, verse 14, his position. I had a man tell me one time, and listen, I'm not making light of this. I don't know that the man wasn't a little deranged, I'm unsure. But he told me that Jesus stood at the foot of his bed and had a conversation with him. I said, that's interesting. I think Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. And I think he's making intercession for all the believers. And when Jesus gets ready to leave heaven, he's not going to come sit on the side of someone's bed. He's going to meet all the children of God in the air as he raptures us out of here. Amen. Got to stay true to the book, brethren. What the book says. Jesus has forever sat down at the right hand of God because the work is finished. And when he gets up, he's getting up to come and get you and to come and get me, we who are saved. And he's not coming to this earth. He's coming in the air. He's going to come for us. And then he's going to come with us. Then he'll come to the earth to set up his kingdom. Amen? His position, look at one more time before we move on. It says he's passed into them. See that word pass? That means pass through. In other words, he went through the stellar, the atmospheric, the stellar heavens. He's gone right on to the third heaven where the paradise of God is, where Paul, when he said he was stoned and drug outside the city of Lystra for dead, he said, whether in the body or not, he said, I don't know. He said, but I was caught up into the third heaven, the abode of God. That's where Jesus is. He's in the abode of God, in heaven itself, seated, making intercession for you. The next time the devil lies to you now and tells you that God doesn't care, that no one's praying for you, that no one understands your situation, you let the devil know that you know he's a liar. Because the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he has entered into the presence of God for us. And as Hebrews 7 says in verse 25, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for me. He's pleading our case before the God of heaven. So our position, or his position, in verse number 14, we see his position. Look at the latter part of that where it says, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, seeing then that we have this great high priest, don't you give up. Don't lose your confidence. That word profession is confession, and it goes to confidence. If you'll look back just in a couple of places in chapter 3, look in chapter 3, if you will, look in verse number 6. Right in the middle of that verse, it talks about if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing. See that in chapter 3, verse number 6, the confidence. Then if you'll also go down into verse number 14, again, right in the middle or toward the close of that verse, it talks about our confidence steadfast. In other words, God wants us to finish strong. You're saying, now, preacher, I hope I make it to heaven. Well, if you're saved, you're going to make it to heaven. All saved people go to heaven. Say amen with me. Amen. We have eternal life. I don't have something temporal. This is eternal. Eternal life. We're kept by the power of God in Christ Jesus. Right, brethren? We're not holding on. Listen, we're not holding on and hoping that we can make it to heaven. That's not what he's talking about here in chapter 4 and verse number 14, the latter part of that. He said, hold fast our profession. Keep your confidence that God, what he started, he will continue in you. Remember that Jesus is praying for you. You don't have to fail. You don't have to quit. God will see you through. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for us. Keep that in mind. Say, sometimes, preacher, I feel weak. I feel like I failed God. I feel like I've let God down. There's not a man here that hasn't. There's not a person here that hasn't. But I'll tell you this, Jesus is still praying for you. I've disappointed God, preacher. What can I do? You can ask God to forgive you and know that Jesus is still praying for you. Our great high priest is still praying for you. He will always pray for you. He will never turn loose of you. You say, well, I feel like I've let go of God. God will never let go of you. Never. Never. Need to keep that in mind now. There's a lot of folks discouraged. Some are giving up. They say, well, I look around this old world that I live in, preacher, and I'm discouraged. I feel like just quitting and giving up. I don't feel like there's any use in going on. Listen, that's what the devil wants us to do. There are people that need us. Look at the latter part one more time of verse number 14. They need us to hold fast our profession. They need us to continue on for the cause of Christ. They need us to be that written epistle that'll be known and read in their heart when they see Jesus in our life. Even in this hard time, we need to keep on for God. Keep on. Keep on. Press on. The position of our high priest. Number two, in verse number 15, the perfection of our high priest. This also separates him from the earthly high priest. The earthly high priest, well, he carried on duties. Number one, he had to offer sacrifice for himself. Jesus didn't have to do that because he was without sin. But number two, he had an earthly ministry. Jesus not only has an earthly ministry, but he has a heavenly ministry as a high priest, and he is now making intercession. But now let's look at this perfection just for a moment. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now some people have read this, well, you know, Jesus is touched with our sin. Wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus died for our sin. But this is talking about being touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There's a difference. This is talking about our hardship, our sorrow, our grief, right? See, we have a high priest that though he is God, he is man. As man, he can identify with our hardships. As God, he can do something about it. Amen. Yeah. See, that's what separates him from Aaron and the other high priest. That's what makes him a great high priest. You with me? So the scripture says this. It says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're going to come back to that word touch and feeling. It's very interesting. But I want you to look at this last point. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ never sinned? He was without even the possibility of sin. Jesus is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You say, well, what would he know about temptation? More than you. More than me. Right? Look at again what it says at the latter part of verse 15. He was in all points tempted like as we. You see, this man may be tempted unlike me. This lady may be tempted unlike this lady. Can I tell you, Jesus has been tempted like all of us. Yet without sin. I have given in to temptation. Jesus never did. Who you think has felt the full force? That's what this verse of Scripture is telling us. He was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. Temptation is a very strenuous thing. It's very real. You understand this, right? Temptation is very real. So, well, sin destroys people. Temptation will beat you down. Temptation will wear you out. The devil just keeps coming, brethren. He just keeps coming. Right? He's not going to lighten up on us. He just keeps coming. That's why we need a great high priest who has been tempted, who can identify with what we're going through. So you may come to me, as much as I love you as your pastor, you may come to me and tell me a situation. It'd be hard for me to identify with that situation. I can't identify with every situation. I want to empathize with what people are going through. But can I tell you, only Jesus can really, truly do that. Jesus knows what you're going through. And he possesses the love and the power to help you go through it. He's without sin. That's hard to imagine. No sin. Never said a word out of line. Always in step with the holiness of God is Jesus our Lord. Never sinned. Never. Don't you let some liberal tell you now, well, Jesus sinned. No, he didn't. If Jesus sinned, he's no different than you or me. Amen?
Amen.
He had to die for his own sin if he sinned. But he can die for your sin because he never sinned. Let's finish the second point now. I want you to look at this. It says that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which means Jesus can be touched. You see, I want you to underline the word touched and feeling. A lot of times when people look this word up, they think of sympathy. And I do believe there's a little hint of sympathy there. But here's the word. I want you to look it up sometime. Get your concordance and look it up. It's not sympathy. It's symphony. Listen carefully. It's a musical term. Look it up. Look up the word touched. Feeling. It's a musical term of sympathetic resonance, which means you can take a pen and put it here, and a pen and put it there, strike the chord of the pen over here, and there'll be a gentle movement over here. You know why? Because the sound that carries touches that stringed instrument. Look it up. And so what the apostle is saying here is when we go through hardship, when we go through infirmities, Jesus feels it. Why is he saying this? Because the false gods of the world see nothing, hear nothing, feel nothing. But our great high priest is touched with the feeling. When you're hurting, Jesus feels it. When you're struggling, Jesus feels it. I am so thankful that it's that way.
Amen.
There is somebody in this building today, listen to me, you're hurting. Oh, you smile. We smile. We go on with life and we put a good front. I'm not saying that we should go around saying, woe is me. That's not my message. But what I am saying is underneath sometimes this exterior that we carry around, there's hurting hearts. People are hurting. Jesus is touched with your hurt. He's touched with your grief. He's touched with your hardship. It's personal. I'm so glad that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father as my great high priest. And that as I go through life, he understands when no one else does. He cares when seemingly no one else does. Jesus, our great high priest. So, number one, his position. Number two, his perfection. His perfection. He's without sin and he's touched. And then finally, in verse number 16, we see his provision. As Jesus is seated there on the right hand of God the Father, the apostle says here, here's a personal application. Here's a practical application. Look at the way verse 16 begins. Let us therefore. In other words, because of these things, because we have a great high priest who is passing to the heavens, because he is making intercession for us, because he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he is without sin, because he, as man, has identified with man, and as God, he has the power to do a work in your life in the situation that you're in. Let us therefore, in other words, act on it. Don't just hear what I'm saying to you today. Don't just hear what you've read in your Bible today. Act on that. Let us therefore take action. What is that action, preacher? Well, we're to come boldly, which means without hesitation and freedom of speech. We're to come boldly before the throne of grace. You see, in the Old Testament, it was stay away. Stay away. It was a throne of judgment. But in the New Testament, because of Jesus and his blood and the new and living way that he has opened up, we can now therefore come boldly unto the throne of his grace. With freedom of expression, we can tell God what the need of our heart is. Can I tell you, I tell God things I'd never tell you. You say, "Preacher, I think you ought to tell me." I'm not telling you. And that's my final answer. But there's some things that you tell God that you wouldn't tell others too. Oh, not me, preacher. Yes, you. There's things that we go through in life that it makes us feel inadequate, maybe even insufficient. But I'm glad that our great high priest, who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, I'm glad that he knows what we're going through. And he loves us still. And he'll help us. And he'll minister to us. And he'll raise us up. Therefore, we should go boldly to him. See, sometimes when we go into a man, we think, I hope he doesn't think less of me because of this. You ever told someone something, you just felt their eyes peering down in your soul? I mean, just judging you like the tribunal, right? I mean, the whole time you're sitting there telling them, you're thinking, I don't think this person's identifying with my need here. I think they're thinking about the first 10 people they're going to tell. I'm so glad it's not that way with Jesus. I'm so thankful I can go to him with all of my cares and with all of my trials and with all of my weaknesses and with all of my burdens. Jesus, lover of my soul, I'm so thankful. What a friend of sinners he is. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll make two comments and I'll be through. First comment, see that phrase there, time of need? In the South, we say, just in the nick of time. You say, what's the nick of time? In the time of need. You thought God wasn't going to show up, didn't you? And yet he did. He always does. Amen. Maybe not when you expected him to. Maybe not even how we expected him to. But I'm glad that he does. I'm glad that he shows up because he will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad God hasn't left us to ourselves. Oh, God, don't leave us to ourselves. We'd be in a heap of trouble if God left us to ourselves, brethren. I fear that God's hand is turning from our country, from our world. We have so offended the holiness of God. We have so told God to get out of our lives and to get out of our world that I'm not so sure that God hasn't said, well, I think I might just do that. I think I may just pull my hand back and let you see what it would be without me. God, don't leave us to ourselves. God, don't leave us to ourselves. In the time of need, are you there this morning? You feel like if God doesn't do something soon, it's not going to end well. I want to encourage you that the Bible says you can go to him and he will be there in the time of need. The second and final thing, he talked about grace and mercy. I wrote this down. I found this interesting. It said, mercy covers the things we should not have done. And grace empowers us to do the things we should do, but lack the power in ourselves to do. Mercy is us really not getting what we deserve. And grace is us getting what we do not deserve. It's God's unmerited favor. And both can be found through our great high priest. If you're saved, Jesus is your great high priest. He loves you. He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He understands you like no one else understands you. Jesus as a man can identify with what you're going through. And as God, he possesses the power. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Matthew 28:18. What's your need today? Are you going to the throne of God's grace? I trust that you are, because there's a great high priest in heaven, whoever liveth, to make intercession for you. He wants to hear from you today. He does. He wants to take your prayer request. And he wants to act on your behalf. Let's all stand, and we're going to ask our pianist to come. Stand with your heads bowed just for a moment. Because of the great news that I delivered to you today from God's word, that we have a great high priest, let us therefore come boldly. The second thing that we were told to do is we're to hold fast our profession. Don't lose confidence. Stay on course. Stay focused. God's not through with you. Did God speak to your heart this morning as a believer? Did He? Maybe it's time to come boldly. Tell it to Jesus.